And welcome, everybody, back to the TC Game Time Podcast, your podcast that talks about all things Twin Cities prep sports, at least all the things that we can do. We can't do everything in every team and every sport, but we do our best. And today, we're going to be focusing heavily on basketball. We finished the girls' basketball state tournament last week. The boys' basketball state tournament is coming up next week before we have our little break leading into spring sports. Matt Dean is off on vacation, getting a little R&R. So it's myself, Logan Anderson, is what does Matt call it from the Game Time Media epicenter here in Burnsville, Minnesota, in my basement office. We have Bill Hupp, formerly north of the river Bill in his undisclosed, now south of the river location. I disclosed a little bit for you. And the Twin Cities hoop czar, Kevin Alsteins. And we'll start with Bill. How's it going? What are you excited for this week?
Excited for the boys basketball tournament. Unfortunately, I will not be calling any of the games at the state tournament, which is like the first time in a handful of years. First time, I guess, since 2020 when they didn't have a state tournament. It's an exciting time of year. It's kind of the culmination of the winter sports season. And apparently, according to the weather, it's going to feel like winter this week. So,
and Kevin, we'll get into the nitty-gritty here in a little bit, but just off the top, what are the storylines that you're most excited about going into this state tournament run?
We have some teams who have really had long droughts making it to the tournament, which we'll get into. That's always exciting to see a team that hasn't made it get there after a long stretch. We've got all five Mr. Basketball finalists playing across the four divisions. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And the schedule, you know, a lot of things flip-flopped. In fact, everything is flip-flopped Thursday through Sunday, or through Saturday, I should say. Pay attention to that calendar, folks. But it's going to be interesting having all the semis and the finals at Williams Arena this year.
All right, we'll start off, and your Czarness, you can chip in if you want to, if you saw any of the games or have an opinion, but we're going to quickly touch base on the girls' state tournament, which I know is kind of outside of your normal range of expertise. But if you want to talk, you can. We're going to briefly kind of discuss this with Bill, as if you look at the 4A tournament, it went pretty much chalk. Minnetonka beat Hopkins in the state championship game 64-56. It's their second all-time title for the Skippers, their first since 2016, and to the surprise of no one, it was Aaliyah Crump and Tori McKinney who led the way in that contest. And Bill, it kind of felt that most of this year was just an extended coronation for the Skippers. I know they had a few bumps in the road, but they just looked like the best team for the majority of the season.
Yeah, no surprise that they ended up taking the crown. They have probably the highest end talent in the state. They've got a veteran coach. They've just got all of the ingredients that you need to be a state champion. And no surprise to see Hopkins there awaiting them in the final. But ultimately, you never like to say the right team won state, but no surprise that Minnetonka, who was really the best team from pillar to post, to use a horse racing reference, no surprise that they took home the crown.
In 3A, no surprise either. Benilde St. Margaret's beat three teams by 20-plus points on their way to a state championship. Olivia Olson had 30 in the final against De La Salle. In AA, that was maybe not surprising, but surprising in the competitiveness, as, again, it's been Providence Academy and Albany continue to battle and play great games, and Providence Academy won by 3 over Albany. It's their third straight title. Madden Greenway had 27 points, but didn't really shoot that well. It was only 9 of 24, 1 of 8 from 3, but Brooke Honecker came, I don't want to say out of nowhere. She's a good player. People who follow the sport know about her, but 5 of 6 from 3, had 17 points, and really was kind of the X factor in that one, canceling out you know, what Alyssa Sand did, a great game from Albany, 29 points and 17 rebounds. Did you catch either of those two games?
I did not, but I did see Benilde St. Margaret's earlier this year when they routed Orono in a regular season matchup. And really, once they got Olivia Olson healthy from her broken hand that she suffered against Providence Academy in the opener, once they got her back and she started cooking, they were never really challenged. They routed a one-loss Delano team in the section final. And I had the opportunity, because I kept stats at the Big Ten Women's Tournament, I had the chance to talk to a few of the University of Michigan assistant coaches. That's where she's going next year. And we just talked about how fantastic she is. And then they said, yeah, we're really excited. We can't wait to work with her. So Olivia Olson, you know, I'm imagining that maybe Aaliyah Crump will win Miss Basketball, or Olivia Olson, certainly a contender. You're going to tell me Aaliyah Crump's a junior.
She is a junior. You just did it again, Bill. You're on brand.
Oh, geez. Never change, Bill Hupp. Never change. Well, Olivia Olson, certainly a contender, if not the favorite for Miss Basketball. And having just seen her a couple times, she is the real deal, as they say, 15th ranked recruit in the state, or the country, I should say. Yeah, so the Michigan coaches are excited. I would not at all be surprised to see her make an instant impact in Ann Arbor next year.
And in Class A, Goodhue beat Mountain Iron Buell in a tight game, 70-65.
That one was a surprise. Jordan Zubich was expected to lead Mountain Iron Buell to a state title, and Goodhue pulled the upset. A couple players over 20 points in that game.
Well, Goodhue was the number one seed.
Oh,
so okay. they
made it up.
I don't know how much, you know, what the actual I don't know that much about Class A basketball. I know that Jordan Zubich is the brand name going D1, going to North Carolina, right?
Yes, yes.
But,
well, the article I read, without knowing the seeds, because why would I do that? Why would I do that kind of research? They made it sound like Goodhue pulled something of an upset just because of Jordan Zubich. But to hold her to 12 points when she's been, you know, she is one of the top 3-5 players in the state. And she might come in and win Miss Basketball. I know she's a senior. But, you know, yeah, that was exciting games for sure.
I once covered a game at Goodhue when I used to work for KDHL. It's a kind of a fun place. It's one of those old school small gyms where they put you on the stage overlooking the court. It's a fun place. But, yeah, great team for the Wildcats, and they beat Mountain Iron Buell to win the Class A state championship on the girls' side. You know, we brought you on specifically to talk about the boys' basketball tournament coming up this week. I think the 4A one looks like it's probably going to be the most open tournament, for lack of a better word. But I don't know how open it is. It seems like there's heavy favorites in some of the other divisions. Wayzata, obviously the clear number one throughout this year. How do you look at who has the most open bracket and chances at upsets?
I think every division has a prohibitive favorite. I think Wayzata is a big favorite in 4. Ticino Grace is a big favorite in 3. Breck in Class 2A and Cherry in Class 1A. But it's not going to be easy. Their Class 3A is really loaded. I love the matchups there. 4A, another Wayzata Park Center rematch in the state final would be absolutely epic. Everybody's hoping for that. And Minnetonka's proven they can play with anybody. So, you know, that's why they play the games, right? So, yeah, that'll be very interesting. But I think those four teams really stick out as favorites in each of their classes.
So we'll go through the matchups a little bit here. We'll start with 4A. Wayzata and Rogers. Wayzata is looking to make their fourth consecutive state title appearance. If they're able to get there and win, they would have won 3 of 4, and I believe we're still alive, about to play in a section final in 2020, so potentially could have made that streak even longer. But they're taking on Rogers, who I know very little about, other than I don't think they have a great chance against Wayzata. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that as well. Blake DeLuge has been really good for Rogers. They've had a really nice year, one of four representatives from the North Suburban at the state tournament, three in Class 4A and then Totino in 3A. But they get Adam Broberg back from injury. He was really good for them the first couple of games of the year and sat out most of the rest of the season, just came back. So that's a big addition for Rogers. But at the end of the day, YZ is they're just a machine right now. Jackson McAndrew, 40 in the section final and a big blowout win over Hopkins in a game that many people, myself included, I thought would be a real barn burner after they played two really close games during the regular season at late conference play.
The number two seed, Park Center, they've also been in the state title game quite frequently recently. If they're able to get there, this would be their third consecutive trip, and they are certainly the favorite on that side. They take on Bill Hupp's Eagan team, which he made us pay attention to early in the year. They ended up winning 17 games, and I think Section 3 certainly isn't what it's been in the past, but they still got out of there, and we'll let Bill kind of chip in first before we head to the Czar. What do you think Egan's chances of pulling up an upset are?
I think it's going to be tough just because Park Center is Park Center, but Eagan, you know, 18-point blowout victory in the section final. I mean, they were led, you know, as usual by Max Busley with 14 points. They've got a bunch of interesting sort of tall sophomores. And I remember seeing them. I mean, they didn't blow me away, but yeah, 17 and 12, the number one seed in section three. And, you know, they maybe lucked out by not having to play, you know, Apple Valley Park, you know, definitely Eastview, I think probably did them some favors, but pretty balanced. When you look at Busley, Charlie Burke, and Alex Schropfer, I mean, they have three players that score, you know, between 12 and 15 a game. They're pretty deep. They play, you know, a good 8-9 in their rotation. I don't think they've necessarily faced too many teams the caliber of Park Center this year. But I thought they were, you know, I thought they were decent. I mean, they beat a pretty decent Woodbury team in the game I saw them. And so I'm not surprised, especially given their section, that they made the state tournament. And we'll see, you know, they'll play with very little expectations, very little in the way of pressure when they face Park Center. But be very curious to hear the Hoop Czars take on the Wildcats.
So, yeah, I agree with what you said. I mean, Max Busley's going to have a big game in that game. Alex Schropfer, nice sophomore wing for them. And, you know, Eagan does have some shooting, and so that can keep them in this game, and they defend really well. They had a big win over Washburn, and big man Kyle Jorgensen is going to Colorado State earlier in the season. So Egan's proven they can compete, but Park Center, they really get into you defensively, take you out of what you want to do. They're finally getting healthy. They've had guys in and out of the lineup, but they now have everybody back. Ching Ring is back in the middle. Jackson Folks is back in the lineup, and Cash Chavis is as dynamic a on-ball defender as we have in the state. And can really take you out of, you know, just getting into offense, let alone running your offense. So big handful there for Eagan. But if they can shoot it well, they can hang around in this one.
That brings us to the number three seed, the Minnetonka Skippers, who survived an overtime battle against Shakopee to qualify for state. Watch that one on Sabres Live. Phenomenal game. And they're rewarded with, you know, again, one of those random draw teams. They're taking on Coon Rapids, and that is not on my side of town that I get to see very often. What do either of you guys know about Coon Rapids, and do they have a chance to pull an upset on the Skippers?
I should have done my research on Coon Rapids, having worked for CTN Coon Rapids on and off for the last handful of years. So I don't know much about them. I know, you know, when they're good, they're usually fairly athletic. And so I think they'll be able to keep up with the athleticism of Minnetonka, but, and they, I want to say they can score pretty well. But yeah, Minnetonka, you know, size is the only issue with them, but I think this could be a pretty competitive game. I mean, this is a Coon Rapids team that averages about 75 a game, and so I'm sure the Hoopstar knows much more, but they got, you know, kids like Jackson Young and Jerry Freeman and multi-sport athletes. Jackson Hetwer was their quarterback in the fall. I think they'll be able to. I don't think the athleticism of Minnetonka will necessarily overwhelm them, but at the end of the day, this is a 16-13 team that won, you know, a weaker sort of Section 7. So I think they're right where they need to be as far as being one of the unseeded teams.
Yeah, I would concur with that. Coon Rapids, again, one of those Northwest suburban representatives. Jerry Freeman, nice guard for them. Coach Ogorek, first time in 41 years for Coon Rapids at state. So congratulations to them. They love to play 1-3-1 zone, one of the few teams that will play some zone. I expect a fast-paced game. Minnetonka really likes to get up and down, as we mentioned. Coon Rapids, 75 a game. At the end of the day, though, Minnetonka is really playing well right now. Jordan Kane was terrific in that section final game. That overtime win over Shakopee, really a difference maker on the wing, attacking the basket, big, strong wing. So I think too much offense here for Minnetonka, and they move on fairly easily.
You say Coon Rapids hasn't made it in 41 years. Farmington says, hold my non-alcoholic beverage, because they haven't made it in 87 years, and they are now back in the state tournament as the 4 seed, and always that 4-5 seed game is one of the most intriguing games, because whoever comes out of it is usually pretty good, has a reasonable chance of knocking off the 1 seed. And I haven't seen Creighton-Durham Hall. That is their opponent. I've seen Farmington, and I think the way they play could cause a lot of problems for a lot of teams, especially just how relentlessly they hammer the offensive glass. Your Czarnas, what is your analysis?
Creighton-Durham Hall, they're a young squad, probably a year ahead of schedule, had a better year than I think than most of us expected, me included. They won the Suburban East. Sophomore JoJo Mitchell was at Apple Valley last year. He had a really great year for them this year. They've got an inside kid whose name is escaping me at the moment. My apologies. Monteef Dixon, another player they can go to in there. They're ahead of schedule, but Farmington, as you mentioned, they're big, they're tough, they're physical. Really nice win for them in the section final over Lakeville North down in Rochester, finally breaking the John Oxton streak down at the Rochester Civic Center. Brandon Hernser, Cole Wilchick, just a couple of guys on that big front line. And the Beckwiths, Tyler Beckwith, Ryan Beckwith, were terrific in the section final. Expect them to try and contain Mitchell a little bit. And I think these two teams actually played, might have been in the tip-off classic back in December. Farmington, I think, won that game by about 10. They're playing really well right now. I like Farmington in this one.
The thing with Farmington is that they do kind of play up and down a little bit. They've won some huge games. I think that at their best, they can beat. I think if they were at their best and Wayzata wasn't quite at their best, they could win that game. But at their worst, they lose games to Chaska. They almost lost to Rochester John Marshall in the quarterfinals to get to this point. They needed overtime. What is your read on the Tigers and what you expect to see on a given day?
You know, they've got to make, as with any team, you know, they've got to knock down shots. They can be very streaky from there. And if you can, you know, get them out of what they're doing. They have been a little Jekyll and Hyde, as you mentioned. And Creighton said they like to get up and down as well. That should be fast paced. But I think a Farmington Wayzata game, as you mentioned, with 1-4, could be very interesting, because I see Farmington similar to Eastridge, and Eastridge gave Wayzata fits back in early January. They were held Jackson McAndrew, I think, his worst game of the regular season. So that would be an intriguing semifinal matchup to me if that happens. And I think it'd probably be a slower paced game, because I don't think Farmington would want to get up and down with Wayzata. Wayzata's just got too much firepower.
So we go back to Wayzata. We've been through our first round matchups. If everything goes chalk, it would be Wayzata and Farmington and Park Setter and Minnetonka. Which one of those potential second-round matchups do you see as the better chance for an upset?
Yeah, I like the Park Center Minnetonka semifinal. That's kind of an irresistible force, immovable object kind of game. Park Center really takes you out of what you want to do with their defense. Minnetonka can score with anybody. But at the same time, I don't think they defend well enough. And I think Park Center wins that game. But I think that's going to be a fast-paced, very interesting game. Cash Chavis versus Andy Stefanowicz at the point guard spot. Very intriguing matchup. Park Center has wings who can match up with Jordan Kane. And then, of course, you have an equalizer in the back in Ching Ring defensively, which I think is, you know, Park Center is really good without him. But with him in the back, that just adds a whole other dimension. So I think that's an entertaining game. But Park Center moves on in to the final.
Bill?
Yeah, it's hard to see a final other than that, especially because we had some, you know, a few upsets in section play. I think these have been the two strongest teams in this class all season long. And so not to be boring and, you know, very chalky, but it's I just think I agree with everything the Hoopstar just said. It's two different styles, but it feels like we've been building to this matchup all season. And I, for one, hope we get it because I think it'll be a fantastic game.
Agreed.
I'm interested a little bit in that potential Park Center Minnetonka second round game, just watching their Shakopee game. Obviously, they're playing a fast pace. They give up some points defensively. They don't have a lot of size around the rim. And that's certainly the well-deserved critique that they get defensively. But they put a lot of ball pressure. And against Shakopee, a team that handles the ball pretty well, they forced a lot of turnovers that the Sabres don't usually force. So if they can do that against Park Center and get out in transition, I think that's probably, I mean, they need to hit their threes as well. But I don't see that as a gimme by any stretch. Looking at the other classes, Totino Grace, the prohibitive favorite in 3A, who do you see as the biggest potential threat to knock them off? Is it Mankato East, Alexandria? Who's your dark horse in 3A?
3A is really deep this year, and Totino, they got as tough a draw as you could have expected. Stuartville as the unseeded team. That's a team that really, frankly, probably should have been seeded. Really good guard play for the Tigers. They can give Totino a battle in the first round. Alexandria with Gopher commit Grayson Grove. He hasn't been fully healthy, but he's back in the lineup, starting to get back to his normal self. And they play a really wicked 1-2-2 zone. So they're going to be a handful, you know, state tournament experience, really good young players too. Mankato East, as you mentioned, terrific group. I love their first round matchup with Chisago Lakes. Carson Schwein, Mankato commit, taking on Patrick Rowe, one of the state's top unsigned seniors. That should be a very entertaining, fast-paced game, although I think Mankato East defensively gets enough stops and they win that first round quarterfinal. And then you have that absolutely terrific quarterfinal game, De La Salle and Orono in the 4-5 game. Orono with Brady Woolley and Nolan Groves has been as good as any junior in the state this year. A couple 50-point games. I hit the buzzer beater at the end of the double overtime section final win over Benilde. So a lot to see in that game. And so Totino's got to go through the winner of that game and then go through either an Alexandria or a Mankato East in the state tournament championship game. So tough draw for Totino, but Isaiah Johnson's been really, really good for them. Dothan and Jambola, top sophomore in the state on the other wing, really a handful, too deep, too talented. So I'll take Totino Grace here.
Yeah, Totino Grace hasn't lost to anybody who's not like a top-level 4A team or an out-of-state team playing the equivalent. When they've played, and they've beaten teams like Hopkins, and I think they took Wayzata to a 2-point game. I just have a really hard time seeing anybody knocking them off of their track. Bill, do you think someone can do so?
I have a question for the Hoopstar. I was looking at the Totino box score. Is it Tyon Chapman? Is that brother of Tyson?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and is he similar in ability to his brother, or Well, where is he ranked?
Yeah, he's a very highly touted sophomore as well. He's their starting point guard, runs the show for them. So, yeah, he's definitely going to be one of that next group in line for Totino Grace. And as you mentioned, Logan, Jackson McAndrew with the buzzer beater at the tip-off classic to beat Totino in their head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, I don't see anybody knocking them off.
What I was going to say is I think Alexandria has the best chance. I know they lost to Mankato East in their first matchup, but with their size and that zone, I feel like and I want to say they put on a good showing last year, making it – what did they make it to the state championship game last year? They lost a close one, didn't they? I'm just going off of memory. But yeah, they had a good showing last year at state, and I expect them to – make it to the state championship game. It's hard to see anyone beating Totino, but I wouldn't be surprised if the size and shooting of Alexandria tested the Eagles a little bit.
And in that late season loss to Eastridge, Eastridge played a lot of 1-2-2 in that game. So we'll see if that's something that could give Totino fits again.
In the AA bracket, another prohibitive favorite, Breck, and led by Daniel Freetag, who's a Mr. Basketball finalist. As you said, each Mr. Basketball finalist is in the tournament, but in AA, who has a chance to knock off Breck?
Well, you have to, if you're going to start that discussion, you've got to begin with the defending state champs, Albany. Certainly, they lost a lot of seniors from that group, but Zeke Austin, Sam Hondel, two guys back from that team, very talented. So, you know, Albany is as the number two seed, definitely a thought there. A Breck Minnehaha rematch could happen in the semis if Minnehaha is the five seed, can get an upset over Pequot Lakes in the first round. Minnehaha team, they play a big school schedule. Yes, they're 14-14 overall, but they've played Hopkins, Cambridge Assani, a very big school laced a non-conference schedule. I think Breck won the regular season game fairly handily. But that's a team that Minnehaha that I saw them hit 17 threes in one of their playoff games. So if they get it going, they can be a real handful and show up and compete with anybody on any given day. But yeah, Breck has been terrific. Daniel Freetag is a passer, has been really good for them. And they've got wings galore, JP Masoki, sophomore wing, Hanif Muhammad at a point guard, had five threes in the section semi game that I saw. A lot of firepower there. Miles Newton's another wing for them who's really talented. So yeah, just too deep, too much from Breck here. They're even a bigger favorite than what we talked about in 3A and 4A.
Yeah, looking at the scores, they played Minnehaha twice. The first time they beat them by 15 at Breck. It was closer in that second matchup at Minnehaha where it was an 11-point game. And you know, the old cliche is it's hard to beat that same team three times. So maybe that comes into play, but I'm with you. It just feels like Breck is the prohibitive favorite, for lack of a better word. And that'll take us to Class A, where they have another prohibitive favorite in Cherry. Kevin, who has the best chance of changing the narrative?
Yeah, this one is the biggest prohibitive favorite of all of them. The Asuma brothers, Gopher commit Isaac Asuma at the point guard spot on one end. He'll guard centers on the other end, so he plays really anywhere that Cherry needs him. And they're so balanced. Carson Brown is a shooter. Noah Sandquist, the other two Asuma brothers, so deep, so talented. So you know, and a good story. In Class A, Goodhue, the third team from the HVL in three classes who've made it, Stuartville and Lake City being the other ones who've made it out of the Hiawatha Valley. So they're an unseeded good story. I have to defend the Metro with Heritage Christian making it. I like their squad. Abu Tarawali, big man inside for them. But they've got a really tough draw against the 2-seed West Central area in the quarterfinals. So, you know, Fertile Beltrami with Caden Swenby. Nice guard for them. They're the 3-seed, but they played Cherry this year, got blown out. So, yeah, I really have a hard time seeing anybody compete with Cherry in this bracket.
All right, that takes us to Mr. Basketball. We have our top five named, and I don't think there was much surprise on here. I think this has been largely a two or three person race, if you're being generous, for most of the year. And we saw, you know, Isaac Asuma of Cherry, Cash Chavis from Park Center, Daniel Freitag from Breck, Jackson McAndrew from Wayzata, and tell me if I'm saying this wrong, Isaiah Johnson Origu from Totino Grace.
Yeah, that group's been outstanding all year. You had a couple other guys, Kyle Jorgensen from Minneapolis Washburn, Tamron Ferguson from St. Cloud Tech, who were in that discussion too. So there's some tough choices to get it down to five this year. But yeah, as you mentioned, Jackson McAndrew, Isaiah Johnson, Isaac Asuma, those three are the ones that really stick out. And then Daniel Freitag's played incredibly well as well. He's been a really great passer for Breck, getting everybody else really good looks for them. So, definitely four guys who can all make a case here.
So, to me, it has come down most of the year to McAndrew or Freitag, and I just think they're the two best players in the state. And I haven't seen, with the caveat that I have not seen Isaac Asuma in Cherry, so I don't know what he's bringing to the table. But I just don't see this going anywhere but Jackson McAndrew being as dominant as he is in the big class.
Yeah, with the buzzer beater win over Totino early in the year, 40 in the section final. Certainly, unless something extreme happens at the state tournament with Wayzata on the negative side, you'd have to think right now he's the leader in the clubhouse.
I have a question, this, and I hate to put you on the spot like this, but when you think about this past season for you, who are a couple contenders for sort of breakout player of the year? Guys that either went from being like middling prospects to really high ones and zoomed up your rankings, or guys who got on your radar that hadn't been there previously?
Well, Isaiah Johnson is a kid who, yeah, he was top five in some of the rankings, but he's a guy over the summer and then this season for Totino. You know, last year, Totino had three D1 kids that he was behind. And he's really stepped into that role, been a leader, been a Mr. Basketball caliber kind of player. So that breakout is one that really sticks out to me when I think of guys.
We always see kids take a leap, and that's what I think is so fun about watching the season, you know?
If we were going to force you to make a prediction, who would you pick?
For the Mr. Basketball winner?
Correct.
Jackson McAndrew, I think, wins it unless, Wayzata goes out in the quarterfinals and he has an off day, which he would have to for Wayzata to lose, that early. I think it's his award to lose unless something extreme happens.
I know that Matt Dean, who, first of all, just loves following the Mr. Basketball Minnesota Twitter account that posts three times a year when they post the, I think it's usually the top 10, the top five, and then the winner. And he said, after he saw him play, I think it was mid-season last year, he goes, this guy's different. And I didn't see him until the state tournament, but hard to disagree. I think Creighton's getting a really good one.
Yeah, I think in Coach McDermott's system at Creighton, he's really going to thrive, and they'll run a lot of stuff for him. And that's, I think, a wonderful fit.
I have a random question for you, Hoop Czar, and it's about an out-of-state topic, so I'm going to stick to my on-brand things. But I don't know if you had a chance. I know that, and I did look this up last night, Wisconsin was on the
Well, with that note, we're going to close things out. Special thanks to North of the River, Bill Hupp, who's no longer North of the River, and the Twin Cities Hoops Czar. Thanks for both coming on. I'm Logan Anderson. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Pretty much anywhere you listen to your podcast, we're going to be there. And if it's not, let us know and we'll put it there, because I don't think you're going to find one. But follow us on social media, and thanks for listening to the TC Game Time Podcast.